yeah, cause he's intentional. Never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, cause he's intentional. Never failing. All things are working
for my good.
Cause he's intentional.
He's intentional.
Hey, and he's never failing.
Never failing.
All things are working for my good.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of encouragement, enlightenment, and empowerment for the people of God. So we are very thankful that you've joined us on today. Today's show is going to be coming from the book of Luke, the 7th chapter, and we're going to go through verses 37 through 50. We're going to take our time today and kind of do a study. But our topic for today is, it costs me too much. It costs me too much. So first and foremost, as you begin to go ahead and find your scripture, if you're using the King James Version of the Bible, I want you to know that today we're going to be coming from the NIV version of the Bible, but you can use either. If you'd like, you can use a smart device. Therefore, you can kind of bounce back and forth between both. But we do want to bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for watching over us. And God, we thank you for keeping us. We thank you, God, for giving us your word whereby we have guidance, whereby we have instructions, whereby we have a manual to lead us and show us the way, oh God. We thank you, God, for sending us your Holy Ghost, for being our comforter and our teacher, Lord. We thank you, God, for just speaking unto our hearts on today, oh God. Speak to me and through me in the name of Jesus. God, let your people be blessed on today. Let everyone that is connected to this ministry, God, be enlightened and empowered on today, God. God, we pray now for those that may be sick or afflicted, who are under the sound of my voice. We pray now, God, that you touch them, God. Heal and deliver, Lord. Move by your spirit, God. Touch those, God, who don't have a peace of mind. Let them know, God, that their peace comes from you, for you are Jehovah Shalom. Let them know, God, that whatever their concerns are, all they have to do is cast their cares unto you, O God, for you care for them. Let them know, God, that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, God. So therefore, their job is to abide in you. And let your word abide in them. And anything that they ask, God, will be given unto them. We pray now, God, that you loose the blood of Jesus over everyone that's connected with this ministry. And we bind the enemy on every hand. God, you said those were the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So we speak it in faith, God. We take authority over everything that's not like you. We take authority over distractions, God. We take authority over fear, God. We take authority over doubt, God, in the name of Jesus. God, and we loose your love on today, God. We loose your peace, God. We loose your joy in the Holy Ghost, because your word said that your joy is our strength, God. God, your people need joy, God. Don't let us be walking around proclaiming to be Christians, God, and we have no joy. Lord, don't let us be walking around proclaiming to be Christians and we have more problems than those who are sinners. God, touch us right now, individually and collectively, God. In the name of Jesus, we count these blessings done by faith. Amen and amen. Amen. Again, we are very happy that you all have joined us on today, especially those who are my continuous supporters. I thank God for you, and I pray that God continue to bless you and keep you in his care. I thank you for those who are listening for the very first time, perhaps. Maybe someone told you about the show. Maybe you saw a Facebook ad, or maybe you saw the website. We pray that God blesses you in the name of Jesus. We just glorify God on today. So for those of you who have your swords, again, we are coming from Luke chapter 7. And we're going to try to take our time today so that we can kind of walk through and get an understanding of these scriptures. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. So we definitely want to understand what it is that we're reading. The last thing that we want to do is just reading through words and not understanding what we're reading. We want to make sure that we know what the word says, we understand what the word says, and therefore it makes it easier for us to live by the word of God. You never want to just read just to be read to be doing something. Amen. So we want to make sure, amen, that this word comes forth today with clarity and understanding. So we're going to begin in Luke, the 7th chapter. In fact, we're going to go ahead and start at the 36th verse. And this is a little bit lengthy, so just kind of stay with me. Luke 7 and 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." We're at verse 40. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen. We know that the word of God is already blessed. Amen. So we just pray that he continue to add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his most holy word. So, of course, we're going to begin in the beginning. here it is that Jesus had gone to the home of a Pharisee. This Pharisee's name was Simon. Simon had invited him over for dinner. Here it is, Jesus is sitting at the table, chilling, relaxing. They're sitting around talking. Now, we have to know first and foremost that a Pharisee, by definition, is someone who is distinguished by following the written law and traditions. And they're self-righteous people. Most of the time, they're hypocrites. They can see and they can point out everything about everybody else's sin. And they expect everybody else to follow the letter of the law. But of course, they sin just like you and I, but their sins may be in private. So these are the type of people that are very good at pointing out everybody else's sins. And we just simply call them hypocrites. Now here, all of a sudden, Jesus is at his house, and this woman comes in. Now, this woman is already known by everybody in town to be a sinner. The Bible doesn't say what her sin is, but the one thing that they all do know is that she's a sinner. Now, she'd heard that Jesus was over there for dinner, so she came with something in her hand. She came with something that was expensive. She came with something that was unique. She came with something that cost her something. You know, I know I wasn't invited to the party. I know I wasn't invited to this meeting. And in some cases, unfortunately, I know I wasn't invited to your church. And I don't know what y'all were talking about before I got here, but I came to see Jesus. I didn't come to see you hypocrites anyway. I just came to see Jesus. So excuse me while I see Jesus. Clearly, she didn't care what they thought about her. What difference would it make? They're talking about her anyway, right? For being a sinner woman. So now in verse 38, we see that this woman began to worship Jesus in a way that none of the other church folks had ever done. We know that because in the Bible's account of this incident, in other books of the Bible, they're all told differently. So apparently she did several different things. But it was all about Jesus. We know all the rules all the time. And we know everybody else's faults. But saints of God, very often we know nothing about worship. Because see, worship has to come from a pure place. We say we've been through some things. But we still have this inhibited worship. A lot of us can get into praise sometimes, you know, just depending on whether or not they hit the right beat on the drum or they hit the right chord on the organ. But many of us are inhibited in our worship. This woman understood that she was there to see Jesus and nobody else. And see, that's the way we have to be when it comes to going into the house of God. It's not about anybody else in the room. It's about Jesus. It's not about how they're looking at me. It's about Jesus. It's not about what they're thinking about me. It's about Jesus. And many times, just like this woman, we're dealing with hypocrites anyway, people that have their own flaws. But they're quick to point out and remember yours. You have to remember that you came to see Jesus. So this woman understood that she might not get this moment again. You may not get this moment again. You don't know if you will have another opportunity to come before the Lord, to come into the presence of Jesus. So every opportunity that we have, we must take advantage. It cost her something to be there. And she was not going to waste this moment. It cost me too much. So this woman began to sacrifice everything of value. This alabaster box contained this oil, this perfume. The container itself was costly. She already had a bad reputation, so she wasn't concerned about what they thought. She was there to see Jesus. Being in his presence was so important to her, especially because just like they knew her past, she knew her past, her secrets. She knew about her skeletons in her own closet, so it didn't take everybody else wondering about them. But because she knew her past and because she know the types of things that she's been involved in and the types of things that she's had to deal with, perhaps for a long time. But this woman, when she got into the presence of Jesus, she began to weep. See, I already know I'm not worthy. I already know I have issues. I already know I have flaws. So I don't need anybody to point any of that out to me. I already know my issues, but this is about me and Jesus. But while I'm here, although I don't deserve it, I need to bask in the presence of Jesus. I'm in the presence of Jesus, and I have to take advantage of this opportunity. Because, see, you don't know like I know. You can't tell it like I can. So this woman wept so much that by now, her tears are all over his feet. And she began to wipe them with her hair. The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. But see, Jesus, I don't have any glory compared to your glory. Nothing is that important to me to where I need to hold back anything from Jesus. He's done too much for me. I have no beauty compared to this beauty, the beauty of holiness, the beauty of the glory of God, the beauty of just being in your presence, God. I don't have any beauty compared to that. And now, here it is that she's brought with her something expensive. She pulls out her alabaster box, or the Bible says in the NIV version, her jar of expensive perfume. Not only does she begin to cry and wipe his feet with her hair, but she also kisses his feet. Many of us don't even think about touching somebody else's feet, let alone kissing somebody's feet. But she is in the presence of Jesus, and nothing else matters. So she's kissing her feet, and she's pouring out this expensive perfume on his feet, anointing them. And of course, everyone in the room has an opinion, because that's how we do, right? We all have an opinion. Mm-hmm. Somebody said hypocrites. That's right. Mm-hmm. The hypocrites, specifically the hypocrite Simon, this Pharisee, now speaks up. And he's bold enough now to criticize Jesus because of the kind of woman that she is. How dare this sinner woman come in here? How dare this sinner woman be touching on Jesus? If he was any kind of a, oh, y'all know the kind of stuff they say. Because you hear it too. If he was any kind of a pastor, he wouldn't be letting such and such get up there. If he really was a man of God, he wouldn't be letting so-and-so pray for nobody. If he was any kind of pastor, his wife wouldn't be doing this and that. If she was any kind of pastor, her husband wouldn't be doing this and that. We always got opinions. And the first thing that we want to say is, well, you know, they are so-called preacher. You know, she a so-called prophet. You know, She's a so-called woman of God, but you know she got flaws. He's a so-called pastor, but you know they say, I heard about him. We are so quick to point out everybody else's flaws, and that's exactly what they did to this woman. It's enough that she's a woman in the first place and being in here, because you know at that time, women were expected to be quiet in certain environments. Don't even ask a question during church services, especially. You go home and ask your husband to explain it to you. Don't you talk while we out here. So here it is. She's a woman. And then she's a woman that we all know is a sinner. If he's a true prophet, he would not allow this. So they say. Well, now Jesus speaks up. And don't you know that every time they try to condemn you and condemn the God in you, don't you know Jesus speaks up for you the same way? Jesus speaks up. And he speaks specifically to Simon the Pharisee. But of course, everyone else in the room is listening, because remember now, this is a dinner, so other folks were there. In verses 41 and 42, as Jesus was speaking up, he gave them an example that everyone could understand. That's what I love about God. He makes it plain. He uses things that make sense to us. He uses parables to help us to get a clear understanding. Things that we can relate to. So here Jesus says, well, if two people owed money to a lender, one owes, oh, let's just say $500, one owes $50, and neither one is able to pay it back, and then both debts are forgiven, which of the two people do you think would love him more? Now, of course, Simon responds and says, well, I guess the one that had the biggest debt forgiven. And Jesus said, well, that's right. So, think about it. If we just pause right there and just put a pin right there. When you know how much God has done for you, when you know how God has forgiven your sins, how could you allow what folks think, what folks say, the accusations they make against you, how they look at you funny? Because sometimes they will look at you funny. I'm not going to even tell you it doesn't happen. But none of those things should hinder you from your worship. None of those things should hinder you from serving God. None of those things should hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. Because you already know how much God has forgiven you. So now going on to verse 44, this is where it gets real. Jesus breaks it down for him and said, okay, well, Simon, I'm glad you said that. Because since you mentioned it, I came to your house and you didn't give me water to wash my feet. But she washed them with her tears. And then she dried them off with her hair. Simon, you didn't give me a kiss. But since I've been here, she's continued to kiss my feet. See, Simon clearly felt just a little too comfortable. How dare we get used to Jesus? How dare we get used to his presence and we get used to his glory? We get used to God just coming to see about us. We get used to God just coming to your house, showing up at your church on Sundays. So it's to the point to where we don't even appreciate him. So then, as the scripture goes on, verse 47, well, how many sins have been forgiven as her love has shown? No matter what she did, she obviously loved Jesus enough. She knew what she had done. She knew her past. But he said her many sins have been forgiven. You know, some of us act like we've never done anything. But Jesus makes it clear that whoever's been forgiven little loves little. But oh, when you know that you've been forgiven much, and for some of us, quite often, over and over again. Verse 48 says that Jesus tells her, your sins are forgiven. See, when you've been forgiven and you know that you're guilty and you know you don't deserve it and you know you've got some skeletons in your closet and you know that it was only the goodness and the mercy of God. The reason that you didn't get AIDS when other people did. The reason that you didn't go to jail and other folks did. The reason that you didn't get fired from your job and you did the same thing they did. The reason that the drugs you used back in the day didn't kill you. The reason that the gang wasn't able to recruit you and have you out there in the streets stealing and killing folks. See, the reason that the college didn't expel you because you know you were wrong and you know you weren't studying and doing the things you were supposed to do. The reason that you were in the car accident, but the car accident didn't kill you. The reason that the eviction didn't leave you homeless like some folks out there laying on the street on a cardboard box. The reason that God uses you today is all for his glory. This is why you ought to just praise him. This is why you ought to just worship him. Not always because of some of the things that you receive, because sometimes we treat God like Santa Claus, but sometimes you just have to stop and praise and worship God just because of what he didn't allow to happen to you. Because you shoulda, coulda, and woulda too. This is why you ought to give him worship and not worry about what people think or who's looking at you. It costs me too much to just sit still in the presence of God and act like I forget. With everything that you've been through and everything I already know I'm guilty of, I dare not act like I don't know that it was God. If it had not been for the Lord who is on my side, I wouldn't be here right now. You wouldn't be here right now. When I was sick, he healed me. When I had no money, he supplied my needs. When I was hungry, God fed me. When I was thirsty, he quenched my thirst. When I was lonely, he came to comfort me. God came to see about me. When I thought I was going to lose my mind, he gave me peace. When I had nowhere to go, he gave me shelter. When I was depressed and I wanted to just die, he kept me here for this purpose, for this time and this season, this very moment. God kept me here. When I was confused and I didn't know which way I was supposed to go, God led me and he guided me. When I was sinking, he picked me up and planted my feet. He planted my feet on a rock. And y'all have to know that rock is Jesus. When everybody else walked off and didn't even know how to be there for me. Some didn't know and some just didn't want to. But Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's been right there. Some of you have the same kinds of experiences. How dare you sit down on your worship? It costs too much. And I can't go back. He's done too much for me. So I don't care what people think. And I don't care what people say. You can point out my flaws if you want to. But it costs me too much to be worried about you. It costs me too much to give up now. It costs me too much to go back on God. It costs me too much to worry about who has complaints and have some issues with how I do, what I do, when I do, and if I do. It costs me too much to wonder if you even know my flaws. It costs me too much not to praise God anytime I am in his presence. It costs me too much not to worship him every chance I get. I have activity of my limbs. Why can't I clap my hands? Why can't I stomp my feet? Why can't I dance before God? You know, like I know, God has done too much for many of us. But you don't know my testimony like I know it. I don't know how he's blessed you like you do. But I do know God has done much too much for all of us, for us to just sit down on him. Just like the woman with the alabaster box wasn't worried about anybody. She wasn't worried about who knew her sin. She was bold enough not to worry about who saw her deliverance. Just like we have a boldness in the world, well, we ought to have that same type of boldness in the kingdom. Many of us in the world were big and bad enough to do whatever we thought about. Some of us were so bad that we can convince other folks to come and do it with us. When you were out there, you were bold. You were vocal. Now you sit in church and say, well, I don't talk much. The devil is a lie. It's a trick of the enemy. You were talking out there. Why can't you talk in here? You were dancing out there. You couldn't sit down. Your song come on. Your hand go up. You done poked your lip out. You stand up getting your dance on. Hey. And now you can hear that chord and they can hit that beat in church over and over and over again. You just stand there clapping, watch other people. Praise him, girl. Go on, praise him. But you won't even dance before God. But you couldn't sit down back in the day at the club. You couldn't sit down back in the day at the juke joint. You couldn't sit down at the hole in the wall. Now somebody have to beg you to get up and wave your hand. Your pastor have to tell your neighbor, because you ain't going to say nothing otherwise. You just sit right there and look at them thinking, oh, them some pretty shoes she got on. Totally different. The same boldness that you had out there, you should have in the kingdom of God. The same tenacity that you had out there when you was trying to sell some tickets to a party should be the same tenacity that you have in the house of God when we're trying to invite visitors to Friends and Family Day. Now you can't invite nobody nowhere. You ashamed to tell them that you need to leave for church. Well, girl, I gotta go. I gotta get the Bible. So you ain't want to tell people. It's a secret now. But oh, let it be a party going on and your favorite fraternity has something happening. Or your favorite sorority. Many of us were in fraternities and sororities. And now we can't tell people we're a member of the church, but we tell everybody we're a member of this, that, and the other. Totally different people. But we have to remember, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And it costs you too much to get to this deliverance. It costs you too much to get to this stage in your life to just sit down on God. Now everything is a secret. You weren't scared to run in the streets? Don't be scared to come to prayer at night. You weren't scared to be out at a bar at night, running around town? Don't be scared to run for Jesus. Yes, other folks have opinions, but they don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. It's a shame that so many people worry about what folks are going to say or how they're going to look at you or what they're going to do. Well, you know, I used to run with so-and-so, and she knows how I used to be. I don't need her getting up in church telling them folks my business. No, folks will always have opinions. Folks will always talk about you. Many people don't walk in their calling in ministry because the devil has behooved you. He's tricked you. He's playing tricks on you even now because you are not doing what God has called you to do based on people, based on opinions, based on your fear that they're going to say. Don't you know it does not matter what they say? Don't you know it doesn't matter what they think? It is better for you to obey God than man. And most of the time, all the things that you are worried about and afraid of, those people ain't even thought about. But what if they did? What if they did say, "Ooh, I remember when you, I remember back when, ooh, I remember back in the day." And you can say, "Yes, see what the Lord has done. Yes, see how God has brought me out. Yes, see how God has delivered me. Yes, see how God has changed my life and he's using me for his glory." Oh, they'll shut up then. People always want to try to remember, but see, God ain't like us. He's placed your sins in the sea of forgetfulness. He's not trying to go back and dig up dirt on you. So forget them people. You're afraid for nothing. That fear is from the enemy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you shouldn't be running around perplexed and confused and trying to decide if you're going to obey God. You shouldn't be running around trying to make a decision based on your mind, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. Yes, that's all flesh. You shouldn't be trying to make decisions about your life and whether or not you're going to do or not do what God has called you to do and told you to do and made it clear to you. You've heard confirmation after confirmation and you still try to justify it because you're worried about the naysayers. You're worried about the people. He's done too much for you and it costs you too much to just sit down on God. It costs you too much to worry about them. It costs you too much to be sitting up here confused and you already know what God has told you to do. You don't need to worry about those people, those folks, those Pharisees that are in the room, those hypocrites that are watching what you do and know what you've done. You don't need to worry about them. Your focus has to always be on Jesus. Pleasing God is far more important than pleasing people. And if you've been a person who has been delivered like this woman, you ought to be the first one to hit the flow. You ought to wake up every day saying, "Thank you, Jesus." You ought not to mind loving on God, the God that delivered you. "Oh, yes, God, I'll sacrifice everything for you because you've done too much for me. I can't even tell it all." You ought not to mind living for the God that gave you life. You wouldn't even be here if it weren't for him. Too many things and people and opportunities could have taken you out. Oh, but God said no. You ought not to mind giving back to the God that gave you everything you have. See, people often forget that when they're stingy with their tithes and they're stingy with their offering and they don't want to sow seeds and they don't want to give. People often forget that everything you have, God gave to you. The tithe is only 10%. You still have the other 90. to do what you want to do with it. But if it weren't for him, you wouldn't even have that. So how is it that you missed the scripture saying, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom? God will prompt other people to give to you based on the fact that you are obedient to him. He said, try me now and see when I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't even have room enough to receive. I love the fact that the word says that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. What? I mean, because I can think of a lot of things. Many of us can think of some stuff we want and need God to do for us. But when you tell me that the scripture says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, that means I don't have to worry about anything. Everything that I need is taken care of. Why wouldn't I give to God? Why wouldn't I give of my service? Why wouldn't I give of my time? Why wouldn't I give of my worship, my praise? Why wouldn't I make sacrifices for God? Some of us can't even sacrifice getting up out of the bed on Sunday morning because we're tired. What if you went to God and told him you needed something and he told you he was tired? Some of us don't want to sacrifice anything, time, energy, certainly not a quarter or two. But you have to stop and remember that everything you have, God gave you. And then when you do that, it's easy to bounce back and say, oh no, God, this stuff belongs to you anyway. Matter of fact, not only am I going to pay my tithes, I'm going to give this offering. I'm going to sow into this. I'm going to sow into that ministry. I'm going to sow into my church. The church has a vision. This is good ground. No problem, Lord. Whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Wherever you say go, God, I'll go. Because you've done so much for me. You ought not to mind giving an encouraging word to God's people when somebody invested an encouraging word into you. And some of us were worrisome. Somebody gave us a word and we got to go back and say, now, wait a minute. Now, where is that found at? Now, wait a minute. Now, what does that mean? Let's talk about this. But we won't even tell somebody to be blessed. We won't even say, God be with you. We won't even tell the little girl at work, sweetie, it's going to be all right. God will work it out for you. Just trust him. Just pray. Ask God to deliver. Ask God to heal your child. Ask God to take care of your mother. Ask God to deal with your husband. We won't even talk about the Lord. But somebody invested some time in you. Somebody invested a word in you. Somebody took the time to pray for you. Because very often, a lot of us, you know, like the Pharisees, if ain't nobody seeing us pray, we ain't got time. If don't nobody know how much we gave, you know, we ain't got time. If nobody knows how much time we spent, we have to make an announcement. It costs me too much. With everything that I've been through, not to help to pray somebody else through. It costs me too much not to be able to give someone else an encouraging word. When people spend time encouraging me, it costs me too much to just sit on my anointing and not obey God. When you know that you've been chosen by God for such a time as this. But sometimes we still won't obey God because we're looking around and worrying about the crowd. We're worrying about what they're going to say. We're worrying about the fact that they might judge us or say that we're unworthy. None of us is worthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags unto God. None of us is worthy. None of us deserves anything that we get. But the grace and mercy of God is no comparison. There is nothing that compares to the love of God. You could never love me like He loves me. You could never give to me like God has given to me. You could never restore unto me like God has restored me. Why wouldn't I be obedient to God? With all that I've been through, it costs me too much. It costs me too much to not move when He says move. It just costs me too much. I can't just sit down on Him. Going back to our scripture in verse 49, the others in the house began to say, "Now who is this that even forgives sins?" They didn't recognize who He was. How often do we experience this? I know that there are some other preachers who are listening right now. Sometimes you can deal with people and talk until you blue in the face. I know. And they don't even recognize that it's God who's sending them a word. Well, they didn't recognize Jesus, so don't feel bad. These are people that know the Bible, that know scripture, that can quote it back and forth. Remember, they're concentrating on the letter of the law, but many of them are hypocrites because, you know, nobody points out their own sins. They just point out everybody else's. Church folks, saved folks, those that go to church every Sunday, every time the doors open, every Wednesday, they don't miss a Bible study. When the doors are open, I'm right there. Yeah, well, you're the one I'm talking to. And don't let somebody new come in from the outside. And this baby Christian is recognizing Jesus, and the baby Christian is worshiping Jesus, and the baby Christian comes down to the altar. But you're used to Jesus. You're comfortable in the presence of Jesus. So comfortable you feel like your name is on that pew. You've become so used to Him that you are complacent in the house of God, and that ought not to be. Because if you remember, it costs you something. With all that you've had to go through and all that you've had to deal with, why would you judge your brother or your sister who's coming with no other focus than to worship Jesus? But some of us have become so used to Him that you don't even praise Him anymore. Some of us have become so used to Him that you're just on a routine. Church ain't out by 12:30. 12:31, you're going to stand up because He needs a cue, because He's preaching too long. We got to go. We got to be over here at Ryan's by 1. The line is long. Can't miss out on that buffet. Golden Corral's food is good. I ain't about to miss my buffet. It's become a routine. It's no longer about Jesus for you. And that's sad. It's become such a routine for you that you don't even remember being delivered. You're just used to Jesus. You don't remember being healed. You're just used to Jesus. You act like you were never a sinner because you're used to Jesus. You're looking down your nose at other folks who are new to Christianity, and they're just happy and excited and elated. And they come to you saying, "Praise God." And you roll in your eyes and you burst their bubble. Now the poor baby Christian is confused because they're thinking, "Good Lord, I know Sister Sue been saved at least 30 years. I know she's always at church. I used to see her. She's my neighbor. I see her going all the time. And I'm excited about the Lord. And now she's draining my joy." That ought not to be. We cannot be so used to Jesus that we don't acknowledge Him when we are in His presence. We can't be so used to the presence of God that you're sitting there going to sleep in church. And even if you're not physically asleep, some of you are spiritually asleep. Because you're so deep and so holy that when you hear a word, it applies to everybody but you. In fact, as soon as church is over, you're going to tell them about this word because they needed that, because it could not be about you. Oh, but it costs me too much to just sit down on God. Some of us are so used to God that you come with that same old dry hallelujah every Sunday. It's your routine. You're so used to the presence of God that you don't even look people in the eye anymore when you talk to them because you think that you have arrived. You're so used to God that you don't even have time to pray. You don't have time to study. You're tired. You need your rest. You got things to do. You got to go get groceries. You got to go buy the cleaners. You got to get to work. You got to come home and cook. I don't have time for all of that reading and praying stuff. Oh, but let a catastrophe come down. And we want to cry out. You're just so comfortable and so used to Jesus. People of God, this ought not to be so. In verse 50, Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, peace is a wonderful thing, but sometimes many of us don't recognize or realize the value of peace until it's gone. You see, this is a woman who came in the door as a sinner woman, but she's leaving out changed. And that's what we have to do. We can't go into the church and come back out the same way. We can't go in for baptism and the old folks say you go in a wet, a dry devil and come back a wet devil. This woman left there changed from being in the presence of Jesus. Because when you get in the presence of God, things ought to change. You ought not to come out the same way you went in. You ought to have just a little bit more love, just a little bit more joy. When you're in the presence of Jesus, you ought to have just a little bit more faith. When you're in the presence of Jesus, you ought to come back with just a little bit more pep in your step, because it costs you too much to just sit there and remain the same. You don't want to go in and come back the same way. What's the point of that? That was a waste of time. You are in the presence of God, knowing that God has saved you and knowing that God has delivered you and knowing the things that God has brought you out of. Knowing the things that God has protected you from. With all that you've gone through, it costs you too much. And I know many of us have been through some things. But now, you can have peace. Nothing and nobody else was more important to this woman than Jesus. Her focus was all about Jesus. Because she had been through too much. Therefore, she made the sacrifice. Therefore, she sacrificed some things of value. She sacrificed her glory for his glory. She sacrificed her reputation for his deliverance. She sacrificed the chance that she could be talked about, criticized, ostracized for her deliverance. Because see, when you really want to get delivered, nothing else matters. When you really want to change, it's all about Jesus. You can't be distracted by the other folks in the room. You can't be distracted by what's going on and what they might think or say. You can't be distracted by them folks at the church that just may look down their noses at you. And sometimes it's all in your head. They weren't looking at you at all. But in the event that they were, it is not about them. This is all about Jesus. Nothing and nobody else should be more important to you. Just like this woman. Although you were guilty, just thank God, because he didn't let you become paralyzed by your guilt, because that's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to remember your sins and be paralyzed by the guilt and the stain and the shame of sin, that you don't do anything and that you don't come to God because you have problems like nobody else does. Everybody has problems. Everybody has issues. But it costs you too much to just sit there where you are. It costs you too much not to give God your life for real this time. It costs you too much not to praise him and worship him for who he is. It costs you too much to not come to Jesus now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you can come to him right now, today. Because see, we've all sinned. And we've all fallen short. We all have issues. We all have flaws. You are not by yourself. We've all messed up. Some of us are still messing up. But the goodness is, because we belong to God, we can go back to him and ask him to forgive us for these shortcomings. And he cleanses us and washes us and makes us whole. You can come to Jesus today. Accept him as your Lord and your personal Savior. If you're listening right now and Jesus is not your Savior, I will pray with you right now. And it doesn't have to be anything long and drawn out. It's simple. Just pray. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me, Lord, and make me clean. I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior. Lead me and guide me, Lord. Help me, God. And then you accept your salvation by faith. If you are not already in a good Bible-believing church, get to a Word church. Baptism is an outward show of your inward belief. Get to a church where they will fully submerge you in water as Jesus himself was baptized. I thank you all and I appreciate you so much for joining on today. I pray that something was said to encourage you in the word of God. Something was said to make you just want to run on just a little while longer. I pray that something was said to ignite and to spark the gift of God that's within you. Stir up your gifts. Remember, it costs you too much to just sit down on God. It costs you too much not to worship him and praise him. It costs you too much to be worried about what folks say and what folks think. If you'd like to hear other archive shows, you can go to my website, www.campbellministries.com. Again, that's www.campbellministries.com. If you'd like to send a donation to the ministry, you can give online by clicking on the donate button on the website, or you may mail it to P.O. Box 16214. Again, that's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. The zip is 39236. If you are interested in career readiness trainings or career relevance trainings, and you're a pastor and you want to get this out to your community or to your congregation, you may contact me via email at acampbell681@ymail.com. Again, if you need further information on that, you can also find that on my website. Thank you again so much for joining. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer.